You're listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.
So we've been in this series. I'm going to, what time is it? Okay. We're going to move along through this morning. I will just review a little bit. We've been in this series on Spirit of Excellence. We're talking about these character qualities that make up having what the Lord calls, back in the book of Daniel, a spirit of excellence was seen in Daniel. You can find that in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Last week, we spent pretty much our entire time talking about God's faithfulness. And for us to, faithfulness, the New Testament tells us in Galatians chapter 5, it is a part of the fruit of the Spirit. So that means it is something that the Spirit of God himself, it's his nature, it's his character to be faithful, but he births that in us through our relationship with him. We talked last week about the vine and the branches. I said to you last week that as we talk about these characteristics, they're big characteristics. None of us, character traits, none of us are perfect in any of this, but these are traits that God loves and wants to build into us. I said, don't hear any of this as some challenge to achieve faithfulness, to achieve honesty, to achieve integrity. No, we're here to let God produce that fruit through us so that really it's him being evident through our lives. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. And so for us to have this quality of faithfulness developed in us, we've got to first see and know and feed on the faithfulness of God. That branch that bears fruit actually feeds on the roots of the tree in the tree. It's the life of the tree that's flowing through the branch and then appears on the outside as fruit. It's the same thing in our lives. So these different qualities, I just hope that through this whole thing, it's okay to be challenged by something and to say, man, yeah, I need more of this in my life, Lord. But it's not, okay, God, I'm going to go make this happen and then come back and impress you. It isn't what it's about. Okay, so I hope that you won't hear it that way. So I'm just going to go through this really quickly. We defined faithfulness last week. It basically means to be trustworthy. It means to be thorough and consistent in the performance of a duty or reliable. I mean, if you're faithful, people can rely on you. They just know you're going to do what you said you'd do, or you're going to be there when you said you'd be there, whatever. And again, all of us, none of us are perfect in that. But there are things we can do as far as, you know, when we can't fulfill what we thought we could fulfill. We even talked last week, I don't want to do too much of this, I've got more to get into today. But we talked last week about the fact that when we think about faithfulness and we kind of evaluate that, sometimes our commitments are too big. And we need to learn not to commit to everything. Sometimes we need to learn to say no, that kind of thing, so that we can be faithful over what we do commit to. Okay? So we talked about that last week. I really encourage you to get last week's teaching. But faithfulness is basically just doing what we said we'd do. And it shows up in the most simple things. And I think with all of these qualities, as we learn about them, then we just want to start to express them in the small things. Start with the small stuff. Don't think of the biggest, you know, commitment in your life. Just start with the little stuff. Be faithful over it. Okay, we may talk about that some more later. So it means to be firm in adherence to promises. It means to be loyal. We don't quickly abandon commitments or relationships because they become difficult or, you know, they become inconvenient, and that's kind of a plague in our society right now. And so loyalty is a part of it. It means that you're steadfast. You have unwavering dedication to truth and a moral and ethical standard, which of course is God's standard. We just don't waver on it. We don't give up on it. We don't compromise on it. We just are who we are. We don't have to be in your face about it either. We just stand for what we stand for. It's part of faithfulness. Okay. So then we talked about God's faithfulness. I'm just going to go through this really fast. Again, get last week's teaching. But as we absorb God's faithfulness to us, as we think about it, we sit down with it, we let his faithfulness and our remembrance of what he has done, how consistent he's been, we let those things, we sit down with those, and we let that sense of his faithfulness soak into us and into our hearts. One of the things that'll produce gratitude for sure, but it will also produce faithfulness in us. It's kind of a miraculous deal. I mean, this whole renewing of the mind, transformation, the fact that God's word carries life in it, and as we receive it, hear it, receive it, love it, do it, okay? As we receive it, it actually imparts whatever it carries into us. We become more like him as we spend time with him. It's supernatural, John. So Deuteronomy 7:9 said, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God." That's a good thing to know. "He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." We read from Psalm 145, verse 13. 145:13. "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." How many of you were made by God? Most of you. Good. Some of us came from a factory. The Lord is loving toward all he has made. That's true every single day. Every day. No matter what we've done or not done. He doesn't change. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. I love this verse. This is, "If we are faithless," and that means unfaithful, really, "he remains faithful, true to his word and his righteous character, because he cannot deny himself." He can't deny himself. That verse that we quoted that Jeremiah wrote in Lamentations, "Great is his faithfulness, so his mercy is new every morning." The fact that he's consistently, perfectly faithful means something to us. It means he's reliable. We can count on him. We can count on him doing what he said. Okay? So, where I want to go today is I want to talk more about our faithfulness. Why? What is it? Why is it so important? Why is faithfulness such an important quality in our lives? And why does God notice it and look for it and want to build it into us? And so 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, 1 Corinthians 4, 2, it says, "Moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust." It is essentially required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Right? Be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. So faithfulness is the key to good stewardship. And stewardship is the primary role of believers in the kingdom of God. We're not owners of anything. We are stewards. We are servants. We are stewards. And so one of the things that this idea does, when we understand it, we know that through Jesus, we've been redeemed, we've been brought into his kingdom, and we've been given responsibility in the kingdom. If you think about the fact that Jesus deposited the responsibility for bringing the gospel to the world, to his church, to us. He didn't just go out and do it, and we're just here waiting for the rapture, you know. He's actually deposited that in us. That is it's a responsibility. It's a stewardship responsibility. So I want to talk a little bit. I know we've talked about stewardship a lot of times, but I believe it's really our primary role. In everything that God gives us, Our part is to steward it well. And we need to understand what that means. But the quality of faithfulness is what's needed to be able to steward something well, to be able to manage something well. And a steward, we'll look at this in a second, but a steward is basically, a steward is a servant in a household. And that person is always a servant. They never stop being a servant. But they are a servant who's given authority to manage something of value to the owner. Okay, so you have the owner of a household, and you come in and you're given the responsibility of managing something in that household for two things. We probably won't get this far today, but two things Jesus brings out in his parables. Read the parable over in Matthew 25 or in Luke, 19. There's the parable of the talents, where the Lord comes along and gives something of value. It's an amount of money in those, but he gives that, and he gives different amounts to different people based on what he knows they're able to handle well. So he doesn't overload them. He doesn't overburden them. He doesn't put some challenge on them they can't handle. But he does put something into their hands, and then he gives different amounts to different people. And he goes away. And at a time, he comes back. And two of the servants have increased what was given to them, and one has not. One's just held on to what it was, and it's very clear there, a real misunderstanding, certainly of the nature of God. He was afraid of the master and that kind of thing. So we are given management for, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but in those parables, it talks about that stewardship was given to be sure that the other servants got their food at the proper time. So whatever we are stewarding in our life, part of that stewardship is so that what we are taking care of that God has given us, it can be a blessing to others. Part of it is so that we are looking out for the owner, the master's interests. Okay, so when we talk about the kingdom of God, we talk about the gifts in us, we talk about our relationships, our money, our time, our bodies, our jobs, everything that we have, we are stewards over that. And there are two aspects, and it's good to remember them. One is, I'm stewarding this under the Lord's guidance. I've got to stay connected so that he will be blessed. I'm doing this for his interests, for the building of his kingdom, not mine. Okay? And I'm doing this so that as increase comes, there's plenty for others. Does that make sense to you? So we need to keep those two things in mind. About all these things in our life, we are stewards over everything that God puts in our lives. And there's a blessing in that. This is like four slides down the line, but I'm just going to go with it. Part of what happens there too is when the master comes back, like in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25, okay? When he comes back, the guy who was given five talents and increased it to 10 brings all 10 back to the master and says, look, you gave me five, brought it up to 10. And what does the master say? Well done, good and faithful servant. So the increase is a good thing. We're supposed to be increasing what God gives to us. But he brought it all back. He didn't come and say, okay, here's the five you gave me. I've got five more. See you later. You know, these are mine. You know, I increase this. I'm off with it. He didn't do that. And it's this image, and the one that got two did the same thing. Look, I've made two more. And he got the same reward. He got the same well done, good and faithful servant. The only one that didn't get that was the one that only had that had one. And it was given according to his ability, Jesus says there. But he hid it. He just hid it. Well, let me finish the first thought first. So what I'm trying to say from that is everything we are and everything we have belongs to him. Even as we find increase in our life, it still all belongs to him. He asks us to bring a certain amount back. If you think about the tithe or the first part of your day or whatever, first fruits, like Boyd touched on this morning. And the rest is, but the rest is still in our management. We don't really ever become owners. Again, I've said this to you so many times, you can tell what you own by what you get to take off the planet when you die. That's what you own, okay? At the rest, we're managing for the Lord. It's our role. And stewardship is the essential quality needed to do that well. So God wants to build, and he is building. Faithfulness is the quality we need to do that well. He's building it in you. He is. It is in increasing measure. I just believe this with all my heart. In everyone who will allow him to do that, willing to just change some of the way we look at things, maybe trying just keeping this at the forefront of our thought. He is building. He is birthing in you this quality of faithfulness as you spend time with him, as you soak in his faithfulness. Okay. So just one little sidebar. I can't help it. Jesus says that the owner actually took the one talent that was given to the guy that didn't do anything with it. He took that away and gave it to the person who had 10. That is a stunning truth in this society. We have a lot of people out there saying Jesus was a socialist. Okay? Not trying to make anybody mad. That is just not true. He rewarded those who had produced. He didn't take what the 10 guy had and give it to the one. He didn't do that. I'm sorry if that fights with your ideas, but he just wasn't. He also wasn't really a capitalist. He wasn't any of that. He was Jesus, and he still is. He's God. Okay, but increase is a part of who God is. And so we just see in a lot of places where it's not our topic this morning, but I just want to throw it out there. There are a lot of people out there preaching that. Jesus was a socialist. He was not. And he didn't teach it. He didn't teach it. He taught generosity. He didn't teach government, take from those who have produced and give it to those who don't. He taught safety net. We are supposed to care for the poor. And as a society, we should have a safety net. And as individuals, that's where Jesus got really serious. What are we doing for the people we know that have needs? Okay? People come sometimes, well, what's the church doing about this? And I just want to say, I don't know, what are you doing about it, you know? Oh, you mean the church office? Well, we might be doing something, we might not, okay? But what are you, church? What am I, church, doing about it, okay? That's what Jesus taught about the poor, okay? And I could go into what he taught about the foreigner, but I'm not going to because it'd just be stupid. It's not our subject for today. So there's good information on that in your Bible. But okay, are you all right? Can you go with me? Okay, let's look at these verses. This may be as far as we get today. I don't know. What time is it? Probably. So look at these verses. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. I know we looked at these recently, but I really want to soak in them today. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. This is the Amplified Bible. Okay. It says, as each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, I love this, a gracious divine endowment. Employ it for one another as befits good trustees, that is the word for stewards, of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Okay, now let's break that down a bit. He says this, each of you has received a gift. All right. We know from a multitude of scriptures, Romans chapter 12 talks to us, beginning in verse 7, about a particular set of gifts in the body. And it is, and these are gifts from the Father. They are creational in nature. In other words, it's a part of your makeup. It's part of your spiritual DNA. It is a part of your spiritual operating system. It is a part of who God made you to be. He put gifts in you. Every one of us. There's not a person on earth, okay? There's not a person that God did not deposit gifts in. When you get born again and the Holy Spirit comes into you, those gifts just get activated all the more. We see shadows of them, I believe. We see shadows. I don't have chapter and verse on this, but I believe we see shadows of those gifts that are in people who are not saved, who don't know God. But when you get saved and when the Holy Spirit comes into you, those gifts just get activated all the more. And there's a list there of seven gifts, and we're not going into that today. But I just want you to be confident, God has gifted you, okay? And those gifts are a divine endowment. And we talked about this just a few weeks ago. I don't remember if it was this subject or another one. You know, we look at this engineering building we have over here. A family donated, what was it, $18 million or $80 million or something for this building and to equip this engineering and computer engineering building and course in Western, you know, and so that was an endowment. That's what an endowment is. It is something of great value given for a purpose. It wasn't just given so they could party. It was given to build a building, provide a course, train people. There was purpose to it. Make sense? That's what these gifts that God has given us, that's what they are. And we tend to diminish them too much. We tend to think, well, no, because we look at each other and we say, oh, man, you know, that person is gifted like this. I'm just gifted like this. We minimize our own, what God has put in us. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, what God has put in you is essential. It's essential to the body of Christ. It is essential to the world. And both of those... Here, he says, he calls this the many-sided grace of God, okay? So these gifts came by grace. They were given to us. We didn't earn them. We didn't. It was God's. He gave them to us as a part of our makeup. He gave you these gifts free of charge, nothing you could do to earn them or merit them. But we are supposed to steward them. Okay, we're supposed to steward them. We're supposed to be sure that they do what God wants them to do. So these are grace gifts, but it says the many-sided grace of God. Romans chapter 12 tells us, in those verses I was talking about, it says you each have gifts that differ one from another. Our gifts differ. Some of them are similar. You know, some of them are the same gift, but they come out through you different than they come out through me. Our gifts differ. It is the many-sided grace of God. But this is how he builds the body. This is what he has. And I want so much for you to understand this because it causes strife in the body sometimes. It causes disrespect in the body sometimes. It causes division in the body sometimes because somebody else has a gift that's different from ours. Well, and so sometimes it's on our end because we tend to think everybody should hear it the way we do it the way we do, say it the way we do, have the passion for what we do. We should, you know, we should all have the passion to serve somebody's practical needs. Well, not everybody, that's not their primary passion. We can all do it. But some people have the primary passion for that. Some people have the primary passion to bring a prophetic word to somebody. Okay? And it's way different than the person who wants to serve physical needs. There's another gift there called mercy, and this is in Romans chapter 12, that is a deep compassion for people and desire to minister to the needs of their hearts, to the needs on the inside. It's a different gift. Okay, the person wants to give them a prophetic word, just wants to give them a prophetic word, and knows that that prophetic word carries life and will change their lives if they'll receive it. And it's a great gift. But the person that has that passion for their hearts, they want to sit with them and hold them and see that healed. One is a teacher, and it means, and that's my motivational gift. So love the word. I just want to give you the word. There's nothing better than the word. Teacher is the best gift, by the way. Where the Bible talks, no, I'm sorry. We're just having fun, okay? No, but that's, it's all about the word. Well, it's not all about the word, but that's the way it feels to me. So sometimes we divide from another brother or sister because we're not seeing it the same way they do. But the truth is, we are to be stewards as a whole over this many-sided grace of God. Why? Because any one of us, any 12 of us, cannot represent all there is of God. And so we need to have that, we need to really value these gifts, knowing they come from the grace of God. They're an endowment. And we see it in one another, and we can appreciate, wow, she does that completely differently than I would. And that's a beautiful thing. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about getting off the scripture, anything like that. I'm just talking about it's many-sided, okay? But what we are asked to do is to steward those gifts. This is just one of the things that God has put in us. And so they are diverse. And we are given those, it's an endowment, we're given those in order to carry out the portion of ministry to the world, to our families, to the church, that we are given during this time that we're here on the earth. Does this make sense to you? This is a really, really important thing. And again, Jesus even gave sharing the knowledge of salvation to the world. He gave that responsibility to the church. And we do it differently. A lot of your neighbors, you know, are different than my neighbors, or your coworkers are different than my coworkers. We need to minister to people who are 20 differently than we minister to people who are 70, because we hear things differently. We see things differently. We have different backgrounds and cultures. We don't need to separate and have a little group, I mean, that never talks to each other. For each, the body is a family. The body is a family. We can understand one another. We can love one another. We can have compassion for one another. We can want to build one another up. But the truth is, sometimes somebody needs somebody. It's their background. It's their whatever. They need to hear from somebody that went through drug addiction. They need to hear from somebody that, you know, was in prison. They need to hear from somebody who didn't do any of that, who grew up in church and never left the Lord, you know. Those people are so irritating. You know, we need to hear from those people. But, I mean, different people need a different input. So God has divided this up, okay? So we need to have that stewardship mentality over that. But there are so many, I mean, you just think about, oh, and I missed one thing I think is so important. Just rewind. Where I was telling you about the different qualities of a steward. Here's another one. You know, I'm saying they're a servant. They're there to be sure everybody in the house gets fed and what they need and all of that. They never stop being a steward. They're never the owner. All of that is true. But that steward eats at his master's table too. He eats from what's being provided there too. So as a steward, you're not out there on your own. I got to make my own way. I'm in charge of this, and I'm, you know, I've got this gift, but I've got to make my own way. No, no. We all feed at his table. We all feed from him. Does that make sense to you? Does it? We never need to feel like, well, because I've been given this responsibility, now I'm just out here on my own taking care of that. No, no, no. That steward lives in the household too. That steward is a servant in the household along with the other servants. He's just been given this particular area to be responsible for. That's what a steward is. And faithfulness, doing what you said you do, doing what the Lord assigns you to, just doing it, just doing it, just day after day. Faithfulness over, let me give you a little list. I was thinking about these things. Breath and life, okay? You woke up this morning, you're a steward of this day. Okay, I've got breath in my body, I'm a steward of this day, this time. I have life, it's a gift from God. I didn't create it. It's a gift from God. I need to handle it well. I need to manage it well. I need to use it well for his benefit and the benefit of others. Okay? My relationship with God. I've got to steward it. Just means none of us are perfect, right? None of us are perfect. But it means most of the time, nearly every day, as close as I can come to every day, I need to get out of bed. And I need to give the first part of the day to God. I need to spend some time in his word. I need to thank him. I need to worship him. I need to talk to him. I need to listen. I need to spend probably a lot more time listening than most of us do. And I need to have that back and forth with the Lord. Okay? Our spiritual, emotional, physical, mental health is something given to us, and we need to steward it. We need to do what's necessary to stay healthy. With the Lord, this is part of why our interaction with other believers is so important. It's part of why our interaction with the Word of God is so important. We need to stay healthy. And when we start to get unhealthy, we need brothers and sisters who will come along, take arms with us, and help us to get back into that place where we're healthy, okay? Our physical bodies, I think this is a big one these days, our physical bodies, we have a responsibility because we're going to be in this body until we die or until Jesus comes again, we get that resurrection body, okay? We're going to get a new one, thank God, because these do start to wear out after a while. It's kind of a surprise because you feel the same on the inside. Why is that? Because I'm a spirit, okay? My spirit hasn't aged. But dang, this one starts to hurt after a while. And it takes you by surprise. Oh, I can do that. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. So our physical bodies, but also the more important thing to me is all of you is bought with a price. There's, I listened to some good teaching on this recently. There was a person, I hadn't really thought about it, but there's been a lot of teaching that kind of makes it sound like your body doesn't matter. That's actually not a Christian teaching. Your body does matter. It's your earth suit, and it matters because you need to be here and doing what you need to do. But so we need to maintain it as best that we can. We're going to get a new one, and that's great. But this one, I have to remember, this doesn't belong to me either. It's me, but I have been purchased. I am bought with a price. I am bought with the blood of Christ. I am forevermore, I am yours, okay? I'm bought. So that means, no, I can't just do whatever I want with this body. I can't do ungodly things with this body because it belongs to him, okay? You know, you wouldn't take somebody, maybe you would, but you wouldn't take somebody's beautiful red Ferrari out and go mudding in the hills with it, you know. Why? Because it doesn't belong to you. If you want to do that with your car, go ahead, but it doesn't belong to you. So that's a kind of a something I've really been thinking about is it's like, yeah, and you know, you can apply that in our society a lot with the whole my body, my choice thing. It's like, if you're a Christian, though, your body's been bought along with everything else. So it's something to consider. Truth that we hear, revelation, the Word of God. when you have revelation of something, that's a treasure. And it's a treasure for you. It'll change you. It will redeem, not just redeem, you're redeemed. It will renew, it will renovate your mind and soul and heart and emotions and everything. It will change who you are, but it's not just for you because you're a steward. And so many times God brings you revelation and soon afterwards you have an opportunity to pass that along to somebody else. And you don't lose it when you pass along. It actually increases. When you give, it's given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So the truth that is unfolding on the inside of us that we're meditating on, that also is for, it's something to steward, something to care for and keep, you know, because I don't mean withhold. I just mean keep guard, okay? Gifts and callings, we talked about that. Talents and abilities, you know, you have abilities that somebody else doesn't. Well, that's something to steward for God's kingdom and for other people, okay? Relationships, and I mean, this is one of the biggest ones, you know, time, wealth, material things, all those things. But relationships are something that are so precious to God. We have, many of you are married, your husband, your wife, that marriage relationship, that's a picture of Christ in the church. It is something to steward. If things are getting off, things are not going well, need to deal with that, need to focus and get help with that. Because that marriage is so important. It's such a beautiful picture. Okay? And if that's not where, I understand those things break down, there are things that happen, no condemnation to anybody about that. I'm just saying, if you're in that place now, if you're in that place, or if you're getting ready to be in that place, steward those relationships. Children, you know, your relationship with your children, so important. You know, church, family, neighbors, all of those relationships, they're so important, okay? So we've got zero time left. Yeah, that's not true. That clock is 10 minutes fast. Can you give me 5 minutes? I just want to read, I'm lying. I just want to read two verses to you and we'll quit. I just want to leave you with these. The first passage is here, Luke chapter 16, 10. This is what Jesus said. There are some things here to think about. I won't teach on it. But he says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. He who is dishonest in a very little thing is also dishonest in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the use of all this earthly stuff we just talked about, who's going to entrust you true riches, which I think of really on this earth as people, relationships, the kingdom, you know, bringing that to people. But I do want to point out two things. Faithfulness is a character trait. It doesn't just come and go, I'm faithful and I'm not. And it's a character trait that has to grow, okay? But if we start with the smallest things, just start with your time or start with whatever is a small thing for you, okay? And be faithful over that. Be faithful over that. Because if you're faithful in the little things, you will develop this faithfulness in you to be faithful in bigger things. And then the last part of that, if you've not been faithful in the use of that which belongs to another, who will give you that which is your own? So what belongs to another? Well, if I'm employed by somebody, that business belongs to them, and I need to be faithful over it as if it was my own, even though it's not. If I rent a motel room, that motel room belongs to somebody else. I need to be faithful over it as if it was mine. If I rent a car, I need to be, these are places just to practice faithfulness. And it's really important because faithfulness shows up over time. It's doing the right thing over time, okay? But this is just one of those sort of hard truths that we need to understand. When I borrow something, when I'm doing something in, you know, that belongs to somebody else, whatever that is, I need to act as if that thing was my own, or maybe better than if it was my own. Leave it better because it honors God. It's a place to just practice faithfulness. Okay, and I just think as Christians, we should be the best employees anybody's ever had. I think we should be the best neighbors anybody's ever had. You know, it's just, and a lot of that's because of faithfulness. Okay, it's faithfulness. Did you get anything out of this today? Let's stand up. Let's stand up and pray. Did you have a good day overall? This was a good day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, today, Lord, we just, I just pray this for all who would agree. We just submit our hearts. Again, we started in this place. We submit our hearts to you. And Lord, where if there are areas in our lives, Lord, where we have not been faithful, we have not demonstrated faithfulness, and we're asking your help this morning. We don't feel condemned about that. We just ask your help. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to breathe into us and to show us how. Show us how. How can I be faithful over that area, Lord, where trust has been broken through offense or through hurt or wounding, Lord, we understand it's showing faithfulness that allows trust to be rebuilt. Without it, it can't be rebuilt. And that's fully understandable. So, Lord, if we've broken trust or trust has been broken toward us, broken in us, Father, we just set ourselves before you, Father, to have that trust rebuilt. But if we're the ones, Lord, that we're violated, then we want to be able to trust again. If we were the violators, then, Father, we ask you to show us how to begin to show faithfulness consistently, to keep our word, to do the right thing, and just do it and do it and do it because it's the right thing to do. And in that, we know trust will be rebuilt in that relationship. Whatever it might be, Father, this is such a broad subject. It applies to every area of our life, Lord. We all want to be good stewards of what you've put in us. And so we ask for that. We ask that you build it in us, and we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right. I don't know. This is just a weird day. Okay, we're going to be dismissed. We're going to say Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin of the world. We will be up here to pray for you. If you need prayer over anything, please let us pray for you. We'd love to pray for you. God will do something in you as you receive prayer. All right, let's say it on the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.